Len, come and share with us that you weren't supposed to have children. Just share with us.
Yeah, I just want to share about something else, and that's this. I'll share about that too, but just how God's been blessing our business in this time, where we're supposed to really go through a recession and all that, and if we've been busy and lots of clients and it's going well, then we can only give God the honor for that. It's nothing that we do, and I just want to thank God tonight for that. He's really been blessed us. And I've just a short testimony on what Andre just said now about not having or being able to have children. God's just been so good to me. About 15 years ago, I had cancer and a lot of operations and chemotherapy and all that. And the doctor that operated on me said that I must forget about having children because they've just messed up everything inside of me to get rid of the cancer and all that. And today, I've got three perfect, wonderful children. And that's just a miracle. And I just want to give God the glory for that. Yeah.
Amen. We have no idea how powerful a testimony like that is. I mean, the professional said no children. So that show you how much the professionals know. They don't know everything. But it's the same in our lives. So often, people speak things over us. They proclaim things over us. They say to us, never this, never that. Finish and claw. And then God says, I'll show you something else. And that's really so special. Okay. And we had a good Sunday last week, and I'm really excited about what I feel God is doing in my heart through this. You see, you think I'm coming to share a message with you. I'm actually not. I'm just preaching for myself, and I'm working through this 10 times during the week, and so I get the best benefit. You get the leftovers. I get the meat, and that's just awesome. That's just really so special for me, and that's why I don't mind putting in some time and really meditating over the things that I feel that God has laid on my heart. Okay, so we're busy with a series, Let the Mighty Arise. And Let the Mighty Arise. And last week we spoke of, let me just read you the scripture, the giving the outline for the four messages of the 4 weeks. And Luke 3 verse 2, it says, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John. This amazing thing, this at this key moment in time about 2,000 years ago, this change happened in the whole of Israel and in the whole of the world. It just says there, the word of God came to John. Just suddenly, some point, some day, just suddenly God spoke, the word of God came to John. And it says, and he went preaching. He went, the mighty arose, he got up, and he went, and he changed, in a sense, prepared the way for Jesus Christ and changed the nation. And then Luke 3, verse 4 to 6, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Okay, prepare the way for God, for Jesus. And then it says, breaking it down to 4 weeks. Every valley shall be filled. And I spoke about that last week. Every valley shall be filled. So we spoke about the valley of failure. Okay, so you're going in the valley of failure, overcoming failure. Second one I'm going to speak about tonight. And every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight. Next week about that. And the rough ways smooth the week thereafter. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Okay, so these obstacles, you have valleys, you have mountains, you have crooked places, you have rough places or all these challenges for you and me to move forward. Now, if you look at the scripture, it's quite amazing. But the every mountain hill brought low, if you come from Cape Town, you come to East London, you said, it has happened. There are no mountains here. It has happened. But this is not speaking about a physical mountain, speaking about a spiritual, emotional, relational, whatever way you want to see it. And this evening, I want to speak to you about the mountain of man's opinion. The mountain of man's opinion. And I said last week as well, I want to give us a few perception changes. Every week I want to give us a bit of a perception change. Last week I said failure is your friend. It's your best buddy if you allow it to be. It will change your life. And the same way, when it comes to the obstacles in our lives, you and me need a perception change. Let me explain. Whenever you have a massive obstacle or mountain in front of you, what do you and I normally do? We want to say, I am not interested. I run away. I turn around. I walk the other way. Most of us don't get excited about the challenges of life. I mean, really challenges. Your throat closes. You are terrified. You don't want to do this. That type of obstacle. And I've experienced it so often in my life. And then I've realized that is exactly those things that have changed me. It is exactly my greatest fears, my greatest obstacles, my greatest challenges that have made me into the person that I am today. I thank God for them. And so our response should be, I need this. I know we don't often think about, say for Len, what he went through. He's going through cancer, he's going through operations, and he's thinking, I don't want this, Lord. But I guarantee you, he grew closer to God through that whole situation. He came to know the faithfulness of God. That is the greatest gift any one of us can have, to trust in God. So the perception change I'm trusting that we'll get is that the greatest obstacles are also our greatest opportunities. Our greatest obstacles are also our greatest opportunities. And we need a different way of looking at it. Our greatest obstacles are also our greatest opportunities. So when you're standing before a mountain, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call when you're in trouble? Who are you going to call if there's something strange in your neighborhood? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Okay, for those that know, that was a movie, and there's a song about it. If there's something weird, and I don't look, what else, guys? And it don't look good. And it don't look good. Who are you going to call? Yay! If you're seeing things running through your head, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. Point being, each one of us, when the chips are down, when the challenge is there, we call somewhere, somehow. We run somewhere, somehow. Where are you running? Who are you going to call? Who's your helpline? Who have you learned is the one that will help you through your challenge? Who is the one that's going to guide you through this obstacle? You're standing with this mountain in front of you. What are you going to do? Some guys say if there's a ghost, call the Ghostbuster. If there is this, then run to that. You know, we run to so many things in life. But are you running to the one that can actually help you? That is the question. That is the question. You see, and this perception change is like follows. It's like you're standing and you're surrounded by a horde of armies. There's a scripture in the Old Testament, this old prophet Elisha. He got up the one morning and then the whole city was surrounded by enemy soldiers. And they're there to hunt him. And it's amazing. When God pitched, things turned around. It was like he was saying, great, I've got you now just where I want you. Come on. And that's what I believe we need to come to a place Because your greatest obstacle will also be your greatest opportunity for victory, your greatest opportunity for growth, your greatest opportunity for life change if you get a bit of a perception change. So, we're talking about mountains. So there was once a mountain of a man. A mountain of a man. His name was Goliath. And if you can turn, if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 Samuel 17. The scriptures will be on the screen as well, but we're going to stay a bit there in 1 Samuel 17. So if you're welcome to open them. And then you'll find that with this whole scenario of Goliath, this mountain of a man, you come to realize like life is like a battle. It's a battle. Life is like not a box of chocolates. Last week was a boxing ring. This week, life is like a battle. Okay, so you have to see this to understand it. And there was this massive obstacle of a man. And Goliath came, and their two armies were on different sides, one on the one mountain, the other one on the other army on the other mountain. And so they were, this one big huge guy came forward and started to taunt the Israelites, the army of the Israelites. He started to taunt them and throw insults at them. And so 1 Samuel 17:10, it says, "And the Philistine said," this is Goliath, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." This huge guy was about 3 meters tall, intimidating. I mean, he was like a mountain standing in front of the whole army of Israel. And look at this effect. Look at what happens to them. 1 Samuel 17:11. "When Saul and all Israel heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They were dismayed. They were cut down to size. You see, how it normally works. You've got an obstacle, whatever it may be. Say, cancer. It's never as simple as that. It's never, that thing is never standing on its own. It's not just, you've got a giant. We see a giant. Houston, we've got problems. We see the giant. But it's not just the giant. Now the giant speaks at you. Now this giant taunts you. Now this giant starts speaking to you. "I defy you. Come on. You're nothing. See what you can do. All of your legions of army soldiers. Come on. You are nothing. I defy you." And that sort of makes it a bit more complex, doesn't it? You see, before you come to your mountain, there's another mountain. The mountain of people's words. The mountain of people's opinions. The mountain of what people say to you. It's one thing to have a struggling economy. It's another thing to read every day in the newspapers, we're sinking, like it was 6 months ago. Now we're saying, "Ooh, it's going better. So should we now feel better?" Well, most of us works like that. We live according to what people say. So the opinions of man are defining us the whole time. And so, what happened in verse 11, it says, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." They were cut down to size. Dismayed is like being cut down. It's like losing your courage. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever stood before like a mountain of intimidation and you just felt, "I don't know how I'm going to do this"? Have you ever felt like that? I felt quite a few times in my life like I didn't know how I'm going to succeed. And then there's all these voices, these opinions coming from every side. And so now it is even worse. They were terrified. They were greatly terrified. So the fear removes all your ability to act or to respond because of these words. And so the soldiers were sick with fear. And the germs spread. The fear spread through the ranks. And they were intimidated. And they just didn't know what to do. And then a young man stood up. A young man got up and he was different. He was a ghostbuster. He was an opinion buster, a myth buster. He wasn't affected by the other people's opinions. Whole legion of armies were terrified, but this guy wasn't. I remember when I was in standard 6, that's grade 8. I went to this big school, a boys' school. And my first day, I'm on my little bicycle. I've always been small. And so I'm on my little bicycle, and my mother never took me anywhere. So I was on my bicycle, and I'm driving to school. And it's a big boys' school. I was in a co-ed primary school, and it's the big day. And you sort of tense. You don't know what's going to happen. So I get out there. I get off my bike, and I lock it. And I'm walking up before school to where all the other boys are and so forth, finding where in which queue must I stand. And then the first word I hear is a guy throwing these words at me. He's saying, "Hey, locust legs." An Afrikaans springkaanbeener. Woohoo! Okay, now I'm feeling like the man. Come on, man. Come on. I'm feeling like a mountain. I'm feeling small. You know? And it's just amazing. Those silly little words at the time of your life where you define yourself, finding your identity, it hurts. And I'm sure some of you have heard some stuff as well. Children can be so brutal at what they say about us, about you. And it's really hard when those things start defining us. You see, it is the opinions of man that tries to define us. Now you must hear this. The opinions of man try to define us. Like Goliath or whoever else, somebody just saying so. I saw on a magazine cover yesterday, one of those Skinner tijdschriften. It said there, one of those People magazine stuff, it says on the cover, "You're too thin!" Exclamation mark, sister accusing other sister, and then this picture of this other girl, too thin. And I'm just thinking, that's like the story of life. You know, you start off with, like say, with my genes, you start off with, say, "You're too thin! You must eat your porridge!" Okay? So you're thinking, okay, my pop yet, gaan ek groter word, okay? So now you're thinking, eat your porridge. And so you go through life and you come to a place, you're not so thin anymore. I mean, you feel good, you're not so thin. And then suddenly saying, yeah, you look fat. You think, what about the in-between? In-between, like, you look good. I want that. But they don't give it to you, do they? You're thin or you're fat. It's just weird. It's the depravity of mankind. We like pulling one another down. You're thin, you're fat, you're tall, you're short. And so we're always the opinions of man coming around to try and define us. Do you know what it is? It's like a heat-seeking missile. If you want to take down a jet, and the other jet would shoot a heat-seeking missile, so it'd find the heat source and okay? And now the same with this thing about opinions. Do you know what its target is? It's your identity. It guns straight for the heart. It's trying to get you where it will hurt you the most, where it will incapacitate you, where it will make you afraid, will make you feel I'm not good enough. It diminishes your ability to handle the mountain. That's the one thing it does. Opinion, it diminishes your ability to handle the challenge because you're this. And then the other thing the opinions does is it magnifies, it amplifies the problem. Got an economic crisis. No, it's now a catastrophe or whatever. You know, the opinions of man amplifying our challenges. And so even before the battle, before you've even stood there before Goliath, even before you can take this big man down, you're already lost. Now, this is amazing. You may go read this yourself sometime. 1 Samuel 17. Now, you have this young man. He was probably a teenager, and he was so different. He was so different. All the professionals were terrified. All the professionals were terrified. You know, you don't need to, even the professional Christians sometimes don't have much faith. You don't need a degree to trust in God. But here comes this young man and his response is different. So I want us to look at that. I want to give you three areas where the opinions of man affects us. I want to give you some keys as to how to overcome it. It is absolutely critical. I remember times in my life where I've been so terrified because of the voices in my head. Yeah, yeah, you also hear voices. Come on, don't be like, you hear voices. And the voices tell you something. They tell you about if you're good enough or not good enough. They tell you if you're going to feel good about yourself or not. But there are these voices. It's like your own voice speaking to yourself. It's like last week. I shared about, you know, when you're in the valley of failure, you're down in the dumps. What do? Yeah, give yourself an elbow. Give yourself a kick. You know, we hurt ourselves even when we're down. Okay, that's what we often do. Okay, now, so you have this young man, and he's just different. Now, look at this. 1 Samuel 17:23. I believe this is so powerful. It says, as he was talking with them, now David comes to the soldiers, and he starts speaking to them and saying, what is this? And it says that as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. He said, I defy you. Come on, give me a man that we may fight. And here you have a teenager and he's not thrown by it. All the professionals are thrown. But the young man isn't. Why? Next verse, verse 26, it says, David asked the soldier standing nearby, what will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan or this uncircumcised Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? Now look at this. David turns it around. The giant is saying, who do you think you are? Give me a man. I'm going to take you out. You're nothing. And then David comes and says, but who does he think he is? Who does he think he is to come and defy the armies of the living God? He looked at the armies differently. He didn't look at it like the others did, but he responded. He didn't just receive the taunt. He responded. I'm going to give you a key in a moment about this, but there needs to be a response when that comes. And so David speaks to the Israelite army and he says, guys, do you realize who you are? Guys, do you realize whose you are? You are the army of the living God. But you're sitting now in the corner like a kindergarten group. You're the army of the living God. Do you know what that means? That means God is with you. That means God will fight for you. That means you're different. Do you know who that guy is? He's uncircumcised. He's a pagan. He doesn't have a covenant relation. He doesn't have a relation with God. God isn't with him. God is with you. But why are you acting like he is saying to you? Why are you allowing those taunts to define you? Why are you terrified? Why are you intimidated? Why? Guys, wake up. There's something different about you. And you can surely say that to the whole church of the living God as well. Guys, do you realize if you've got relationship with Jesus Christ, do you know that God fights for you? Do you know who you are? Because if you don't, you'll be terrified. You'll be afraid. You see, the opinions of man will try to define you and me. That's what it will try to do. It will tell you, you are this. But the word of God in our mouths will have the final say. But the word of God in our mouths will have the final say. Last week I shared, our failures speak loudly to us. But the word of God speaks louder. This week I'm saying to you, allow the word of God in your mouth. Not just allow it to speak to you, but allow the words in your mouth to define who you really are and your destiny. Because you need to. You're going to see it now. It is impossible to go through life receiving the taunts, but no response. Receiving the taunts, but no response. Receiving the defining, but no response. No truth response. You need to respond. You see, on your path of destiny, on the road that you are walking, there's going to be a few mountains in your way. But more than that, the opinions of man will challenge you. If you have a dream in your heart, if you have a goal that you're going for, know it. that people around you will challenge you. They'll say, you're never going to do it. You won't be able to do it. You can't do that. And unfortunately, it's often the people around us, even people we trust. So look at this. There's three areas that David was challenged from. And I believe the same with us. As you look walking through life, we are also challenged from different sides. The first area is family. Family is going to challenge you. You see, I studied engineering. And then I felt God leading me or calling me to come into the ministry. Now, a few years after going to the ministry, my mom was still sending me emails about job applications for engineering jobs. Nee maar, ek is nou in die bediening. Get it? But our family will so often come and try to tell us, and not always the truth. Sometimes, often we need to listen, yes, but there are times that they will misunderstand you. The mighty, those who have a destiny, those who say yes to the destiny of God in their lives, they will be misunderstood. Now look at David. This happens to him. He's telling these other soldiers, guys, I think we can take this giant down. And then Eliab, his brother, look at this. 1 Samuel 17:28. I can't believe, but I guess you can. He's his older brother, so... Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. Anger. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence, it actually is evil of your heart. For you've come down to see the battle. Amazing. The professional soldier, his brother, says, I'm going to cut this twerp down to size. I'm going to tell him. And so he does. He tells him, what do you think you're doing here, you little twerp? And with whom have you left this few sheep? You're insignificant. Can you hear it there? You're insignificant. Those few sheep, you're insignificant. And I know your pride. David, you're full of pride. You're arrogant. How do you think you can make a difference in this world? We are the pros. We know. Who do you think you are to come and say you're going to take down this giant? This has happened to me. It's amazing. But this can actually happen to you. Even family or even a brother in Christ. This could sometimes happen to us. But misunderstood identity attack. And then his answer. Then David says, is there not a cause? I can so relate to this. He's responding, say, Eliab, is there not a cause? It's like David walks onto the battle scene. He looks at this scenario. He looks at what's happening. And he says, this isn't right. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever walked here in town or met people or looked at society, look at the state of our young people, look at the state of our families, look at this or that, and said, this is unacceptable. This isn't supposed to be. Now, David was like that. He said, I'm not going to allow this. I'm not going to sit around and allow this. The rest of you might be terrified, but I have a call in my heart. I believe God is saying this shouldn't be. Do you have that? You must ask for that if you don't have it. Is there not a cause? That's when somebody comes to a point and says, this is unacceptable. I'm going to put in what I can. I'm going to do what I need to do, but I want to see change in this place. That's the mighty arising. That is the mighty arising. That is saying, my God is bigger than that. My God is bigger than this. My God has changed my life. I believe He can change other people's lives. I know how confused I was. I remember how messed up I was. I remember how confusing my relationships were. I remember what a mess up I was. And look at what God has done to me. I've got locust legs and I love myself. That's awesome. It is awesome. And I realize that God can do the same in other people's lives. But it's dependent upon you and me to say, I'm not going to take this This is unacceptable. The state of the armies of God, the state of the church of the living God. I believe there's more. What about you? Huh? What about you? Do you believe there's more? You should. Because our God is big. Anyway, so family, if you want to find a big calling from God, if you want a confirmation that you are called by God, you have a destiny to pursue, don't go to your mama. Don't go to your mama, because she's still first impressions lost. You're still in diapers. You're 40 years old, and she's, oh, my little boy. And that's fine. That's fine. But don't go and try and find your sense of destiny there, although enjoy the cuddle. That's fine. Okay? But see, what happens with you and me is we respect the opinions of man too highly. We respect the opinions, and I call it opinions because it's opinions. It doesn't carry real weight. You know, when we, when Sonika was pregnant, I think we were about 5 months into the pregnancy, my mom phoned me. She said, I just spoke to so-and-so, and their baby has got Down syndrome. You better go check yours. I think, Ma, I'm not interested. Thanks for helping. We're struggling as it is, you know. And now you're making it worse. The opinions of man. You see, fear is like a sickness. If you've got it, you want to give it. If you've got it, you want to give it. If you're terrified, it's so boring to be alone, so you want to spread it. Let's all be afraid. That's how it works. It's like going to an exam, student or high school. Some guys, you need to don't speak to that one. They're going to stress you up because they're always like, you know, don't speak to them. Fear is like a sickness. It's just spreading. But the opinions of man carries no weight when it comes to the will of God for your life. I'm not saying opinions of man don't carry any weight, but specifically when it comes to your calling, to your destiny, to who you are, people cannot see who you really are in general. And you better know that. Don't allow them to define you. Now let's look at Jesus. I mean, the man. The one. He comes to the age of 30. His mother Mary, the angels appeared to her and told her, la la la, this is the Messiah, type of thing. Okay, this is the one. Wow. Angels are singing and kings are coming. I mean, there's a much confirmation there. Then when he comes to the age of 30, she's thinking, oh, what's wrong with my little boy? He was such a responsible young man, you know, a few years ago. Now he's running off and preaching and doing all these things. And then the Bible says they actually come to him, mom and brothers, and saying, we want to speak to him right now. Tell him we want to speak to him right now. This has got to stop. That's my paraphrase. And then he basically just ignored them and said, sorry, I have a path to walk. So even Jesus, his family, tried to pull him out of his destiny, out of his calling. If you want to do anything for God that is of significance, it will be challenged by the opinions of man. We're talking here about let the mighty arise. I believe we have mighty here. Normal, average people are the mighty. When the word of God gets a hold of our hearts, we just need to click it. So the first area is family. The second area of opinions is leaders or your boss. You see, the mighty will be underestimated. And I'm going to emphasize again, the mighty, it's ordinary, but with a word from God. The mighty isn't really mighty in themselves. Now look at this, 1 Samuel 17:32. It says, then David said, now he's brought to the king. He's brought to the leader, the anointed of God, the man that should be leading the nation. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are a youth. Now listen to me, my boy. You are a youth. You cannot do this, okay? He is a mighty soldier from his youth. You are a youth. You can't do this. You can't do this. And I've experienced that in my life where people tell you, just in the way they respond to you, we don't think you can do this. But in the end, God knows. But I'm amazed that this young man could still get up after his brother ripped him apart. It's like taking a shotgun and shooting three holes in the man. Now he comes to his leader who he respects and he says, you can't do this. What would happen to you and me? We would be sitting in the corner crying. I mean, how can you get up from this? But David knew something. David received something from God. Now look at this. His response, defining response. 1 Samuel 17:36. He testifies. He shares with King Saul what God has done in his life. And he says, your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. He looked differently at things around him, but he had a testimony, the power of a testimony. Do you have any idea how powerful a testimony is? I'm almost finished. Do you have any idea how powerful a testimony is? That's why I asked Len to come and share, because it does something to you and me. When somebody gets up and says, I've done this before, God has come through for me before, it builds up faith. It encourages. The power of a testimony. Like fear that spreads like a sickness, faith will spread as well. Faith will spread as well. So practical. Get the testimony of God in your mouth. If you have a testimony, start sharing, start saying, even if you've got one thing, but start saying it, start sharing it. God came through for me. God did this in my life. And do you realize what this is? The Bible, New Testament specifically. Do you know what that is? It's a testimony. It's a witness. These guys walked with Jesus. And they said it. They wrote down, I walked with Jesus. Then they said, I saw him raise somebody from the dead. And they wrote it down. I saw him die on the cross. And they wrote it down. I saw him being raised from the dead. And they wrote it down. I touched the scars on his hand. And they wrote it down. And he appeared to over 500 of us. And most of them are still alive. And they wrote it down. It is a testimony, a witness of what God has done in the lives of people. And that witness has been encouraging believers over 2,000 years. Are you taking a hold of that witness? Are you taking a hold of the testimony? Because it's going to build up your faith. So practical. As I said, fear is infectious, but faith is as well. And I envision, I have a dream, I'm not trying to be like that other guy, but I have a dream, I have a desire, I have a picture in my mind of a church where there is faith because people live it, they testify it, they share it. And I've spoken to many of you on an individual level base, and you've shared with me, God did this for me. So why not start sharing it in the small groups? Why not start sharing it with the people around you? Why not start encouraging one another? Faith is infectious as well. And then just the last one. So you've got your family's going to come at you with an opinion or two. Then you've got maybe leaders, boss, people that might not be so excited about your potential. Because that's human. We don't see it with the eyes of God. And then the third area. Your enemies will come at you like Goliath did with David. And their enemy will be mistaken about who he is fighting. Goliath thought he was fighting a young man, little nobody. I'm going to take your part, I'm going to feed you to the birds, that's what he said. But he didn't realize that he was actually fighting God himself. So just look at this, 1 Samuel 17, I'm ending off. In a moment. It says there, then David said, after this Philistine have cursed him, after this man have spoken these things against him, then David responded. Now you must get this. He had the word of God in his mouth and he prophesied. He spoke back. He said, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you." It's a bit gruesome, I know, age restriction, everything. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts, that all the earth may know who my God is." You see, most of us are defined by our environment. Our friends, family, bosses, leaders, people. They tell us who we are, and we, like slaves, following the opinions of man, because it must be so. David was different. At every phase of the attack against him, he had a mountain, a giant he wanted to conquer. But every phase, there was an opinion that came against him, and he had an answer. He came back at it with the truth. He came back at it when his brother said, he said, "Come on, man, there's something we need to do. This is unacceptable." When the leader came against him, he said, "But my God has come through for me before." And when the giant himself taunted him and said, "I'm going to kill you," he said, "No, today I'm going to kill you. Today I'm going to take you apart. You mountain in my way. You see, you don't understand. You see a little boy, you see a teenager, but I have the living God backing me, and he's going to take you apart today. He's going to cut down this mountain to size." And you need that. You need that sense of destiny. You need that word from God that says, "I have called you to do this. I have called you to live as so. I have called you to make a difference. I have called you to make a change in this world here and now." But unfortunately, the state of the armies of Israel is not so good. And that's why I believe the mighty, it's time for the mighty to arise. Time for a change. Time for a change. If we just open our hearts, the word, the opinions of man will try to define us. But it's the word of God in your mouth that will have the final say. It is the word of God in your mouth that will have the final say. If you take a hold of it, if you take a hold of it, you will overcome. And just a last scripture I want to read. Acts 3, verses 6 to 8. We're talking about letting the mighty arise. For you and me, breaking out of the mold of what people have put upon us and even what we have put upon ourselves. You see, about 12 years ago, when I gave my life to God, I didn't ever think that I'm going to make a difference for God. Now you must hear me. 12 years ago, I didn't believe that God has got something specific and something significant for my life. Because there wasn't necessarily a history of doing things for God, because I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a believer. But in those times when I started to serve God, I responded on a few altar calls. I responded and came to the front in church a few times. I was in a small group. And I remember the one time I was really in the gutter. I was really struggling. You know, I was struggling with sin in my life. You know, Christians don't sin. And struggling with some stuff. And I was a young Christian, 6 months old in the Lord, or a year maybe. And I was really struggling. And I remember sitting in this small group, and the one guy, I mean, he is not spiritual. He's never spiritual, ever. And suddenly he says, "I have a vision from God." I know that sounds weird. I'm sitting in the corner, I'm thinking, this Christian thing isn't working. And then he says, "I have a vision from God." And then he spoke to me what God was telling him about me. And he turned me around. He gave me hope, gave me faith, gave me a dream. He said, "Yeah, God will do something through my life." And I have many other such moments in my life. And I want to encourage you to say, God, that my past does not determine my future. What I have until this moment in my life is not going to determine who I'm going to become. Lord, your word in my mouth, your word in my heart will determine who I am. And so I want to stir you tonight. I want to stir you up and to say, Lord, I am a mighty man. I am a mighty woman of God. I'm going to make a difference because I look at this town. I look at the state of families and my friends at school. I look at the state of stuff and I'm sitting afraid in the corner. That's not acceptable, God. Speak to me. Reveal to me who I am. And I just look at this scripture. This is a man that has been lame from his birth. He's sitting begging, and then Peter and John come past him. A lame man sitting on the floor, begging his whole life. He can't walk. He's never walked. Never walked. He's in his 40s. And then Peter speaks to him and says to him, look at me, look at me, look at me. And he says, I'm not going to give you any money. Silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, I give you. And then he spoke to him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And I want to apply this to each and every one of us. We're all able to walk. But maybe on your inside, you're not walking. Maybe in an emotional level, maybe on a self-perception level, you're like a lame man or like a lame woman. You have no dream. You have no hope. You've given up. I want to say to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Simple words. But God said, let there be light. And there was light all over the universe. He just spoke the words. I want to speak that to your heart. Just close your eyes. Just where you're sitting right now. I encourage you, just open your heart right now. I believe that God is going to raise up a mighty army in this church. Whether you believe that or not, doesn't matter. I believe. I believe the word of God. And He backs His word. He backs His word. And I want to speak right now to your heart. I want to speak right now to your soul. I want to speak right now to your whole being. And I don't care how long you've been lame. I don't care for how long you've given up hope. I don't care for how long you've been out of it. Maybe it's been forever. But I want to speak life right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Get a dream. Get hope. Rise up and walk. Don't allow opinions to define you. Don't allow past failures to define you. Don't allow tragedy to define you. Don't allow people's words to define you. Don't allow your past sins to define you. Don't allow things that have got nothing to do with nothing define you. Because God is saying, get up and walk. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. So I'm speaking it into the Spirit. I'm speaking it into your heart. I'm just believing that these words will resonate on the inside of you. I'm saying, let the mighty arise. Let people arise who say, we're not going to accept this current state of things. God, my God, will make a difference. And I am an instrument in His hands. I am an instrument in His hands. God, we praise Your name in this place. Father, we speak to every mountain. Father, we speak to every hill. And we say, let it be cut down. Let it be cut down. Let it be cut down, every obstacle standing in our way from pursuing our destiny. May it be cut down today. In the name of Jesus. For the words of God do not return void, but they accomplish. They accomplish. I want to ask you that if you desire to arise from the ash heap, to arise from the opinions of man, to have the mountains ahead of you, in front of you, to be cut down, but you want to arise, as it says, let the mighty arise. If you want to be that, I want to encourage you to stand up right now where you are. Just say, God, that's me. I'm laying back. I'm laying down the past. I'm laying down the past. I'm laying down the opinions of man. I'm laying down tragedy. I'm laying down the schemes of the enemy. I'm laying down. I'm rejecting that, and I'm taking up the word of God. I'm choosing to hope. I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to trust in you, not in circumstances. I will be the one that transforms my environment. I will not be transformed by my environment. No world changer has ever been changed by the environment. They change their environment. And God has called us to be like it. He is the unseen anchor on the inside of us. He is able for us. He calls us to see beyond what is, so that we can arise beyond what is. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, for each one, Lord God, standing, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, for each one in this place, Lord God. They're drawing a line in the sand and saying, God, I'm standing up. I'm not going to be lame anymore. I'm not going to be having a pity party anymore. I'm not going to allow the enemy to win. I'm not going to be taunted anymore. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the word of God will appear in our hearts and in our mouths, and that we will speak it back to that taunting and say, no more. No more. For the word of God says, this day I'm going to cut you down. This day, you mountain standing in front of me, we're going to cut you down in Jesus' name. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, God. And so, Father, we just release now hope. Just repeat after me if you feel comfortable to do that. And just repeat and say, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that your word defines me. You determine my destiny. Not the economy, not my past, not the opinions of people. Lord, this day, I choose to stand up. Lord, this day, I choose to arise. And in the name of Jesus, I cancel all the opinions of man about who I am. I cancel it in Jesus' name. I cancel it in Jesus' name. And Lord, this day, I embrace the Word of God as my eternal anchor, as my foundation, as my source of hope, my light, my guide, the Word. And Lord, I pray, speak to me into my darkness, into my confusion about who I am, about what I'm called to be. Speak into my situation, Lord, and cause me to arise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, if you'd be so kind to stand with us. God, we thank you. God, we thank you that we can speak new life to every heart and every mind and every destiny in this place. We just close our eyes just for a moment. Just want to know if there's anybody here. I'm not going to call you forward, but you've stopped dreaming. You've stopped hoping. It's like you really, if that is you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. That's you. She's just really challenged to dream. Thank you for those hands. I just want to pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know. And God, we speak hope to every heart. We ask, Lord God, that your people will start dreaming again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just release dreams, Lord God. Just release it. Speak to them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I also just want to ask, just as our eyes are closed, I don't know, but you see, God made us, designed us, put us together. And he wants the best for your life. He wants you to fulfill your destiny. He, like a VCR or a DVD player, he put you together to play DVDs. In the same way, God made you and me to make a difference in this life. To live to the fullest, to be full of hope, full of joy, full of dreams, and to achieve them. But maybe this evening you have not committed your life to God. And it starts off by saying, Lord Jesus, I admit my relationship with you isn't right. Like I did 12 years ago, it changed my life forever. When I made that commitment, where I admitted and said, God, if I die now, I am lost. God, if I die now, my sin will take me to hell. You see, God places eternity in our hearts. And he knows, and you know, and I know what is our state, the state of our souls. So I want to ask this evening, as every eye is closed, if you realize that your relationship with God isn't right, and then most of what I said tonight wouldn't really make sense to you, because I was speaking to believers in that sense. But if you realize, if I die tonight, I am lost. If I die tonight, I'm going the wrong direction. Search your heart. Search your heart, as every believer is praying right now. Every believer is praying right now. God, we bless your name. Maybe you are tired of living in the gutter emotionally, spiritually. You want out. You want into the light of God's goodness and love. If you want that, if that is where you are at, please just raise your hand where you're standing right now or sitting. If you realize that you're lost, you're in darkness spiritually and you want to be saved, just raise your hand high. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? The only reason I'm sharing this with you because it changed my life forever. I'll never be the same again. I am free. And God can set you free as well. If you believe that your relationship with God is not right, you are lost. Just raise your hand again. If you have, raise it again. Just want to make sure I'm seeing right. Okay. Anybody else? There are three or four hands that went up. This is so important. Guys, ladies, how are you living your life? There is life in Christ. It just takes you to say, yes, Lord, I need your help. Anybody else? Last time. Hallelujah. I'm not going to call you forward, but I want you to come and speak to me afterwards. I'm just going to pray for you now. And if you raised your hand, just be bold to come and speak to one of the counselors. Get some of the counselors just come forward. Johan, some of the ladies, just come and stand here in front, please. So if there's any prayer need, you're also welcome to come to the front. And just to speak to one of us. I can have a lady or two as well. Thank you. I want to encourage you. That's why we do church. So that we can pray for you and help you and bless you. And if you raised your hand because you want to make your relationship right with God, or there's any other need, just come forward and speak to one of these people or to me and we will pray with you. Just want to end off and pray. Father, we thank you. God, for time well spent. Thank you, Lord, that your words will not return void. It will accomplish, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that destinies are being birthed here tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that there are lives being changed around tonight. And so we pray for that, God. We pray for that resurrection life. And we pray your blessing upon this week. We pray that you will go with us, Lord, as you've promised you will. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.